we should not always look back at our victim mindset, but really to step out of our comfort zone and go towards the dreams that we have truly wanted to achieve. Because you are not what you have done. You are what you have overcome.
Welcome to the Women Inspired Podcast, brought to you by Modern Well, a beautiful woman-centered collaborative workspace in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I'm your host, April Seifert, psychologist, entrepreneur, and self-proclaimed life experience junkie. Each week, I will introduce you to a different woman who is succeeding and inspiring others in one way or another. We'll dive into her story, her successes, failures, and the lessons she has learned along the way, all with the goal of inspiring you to listen to that inner voice who keeps reminding you that there is something you want to take action on. You are so much more capable and powerful than you give yourself credit for. Inside of you is a woman on fire. Let's let her out and see what happens. Here we go. Hello, friends. Welcome back to the Women Inspired Podcast. My name is April Seifert, and I'm your host. And this week, we are meeting an incredible woman from the other side of the world. We are meeting Janisha Alora, and her story is one of the most incredible stories of transformation that I have ever heard. So Janisha was born and raised in Singapore, and she was, you know, her family life was very difficult. She experienced incredible hardship as a child and had the responsibility as a young kid of helping to provide for her family. I mean, financially, like helping put food on the table. They had so little money, and her schedule, she'll talk about her schedule in her interview. It's one of the most grueling things that I have ever heard. From that place, she found herself being bullied and really, experiencing a lot of difficulty in school, and that took a toll on her self-confidence. But you would have no idea looking at her today. She became Miss Singapore. As in, like, Miss Singapore, like the person in pageantry. She's traveled all over the world speaking to people and speaking to groups of women, and she created a group called Soul Rich Woman, which is this incredible entrepreneur network in Southeast Asia, which helps connect women with business opportunities and helps create the both inner work and the outer work that helps these women stand up successful businesses for themselves. Janisha's reach is incredible. It's amazing to see how somebody who has gone from the situation of being bullied and lacking self-confidence and, you know, not believing in herself, it's amazing to think about a person going from that to the person that you're about to meet. Somebody that is so confident, somebody that is so savvy when it comes to business and entrepreneurship, and someone who is so willing to give those gifts to other people to help them become successful too. I was so thrilled about this interview and so excited to hear more about Janisha's backstory, and I know you are going to love to meet her too. So let's hear that interview. Janisha, I am so excited that you're here with us today for this episode. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me here, April.
Well, I'm really excited because your folks reached out to me about having you on the show, and it took me about 2 seconds looking at your background and at the work you do to be so excited to have you on, because you've got such an incredible story and such amazing expertise to share with us today. So tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and the type of work that you do so we can get to know you.
Basically, I'm former Miss Singapore, and of course, I was awarded the Southeast Asia Woman of Excellence in 2010. I'm also the founder of Soul Rich Woman, which is the number one female entrepreneur network in Southeast Asia, connecting more than 12,000 women across the region with presence in 7 countries, including Singapore, Malaysia, Philippines, Vietnam, and Indonesia. So what we do here is that we help women to build their brand recognition and online reputation as a leader to gain more customers, confidence, and credibility while making a positive impact in the world. Before establishing Soul Rich Woman, I was a cafe retail chain owner with presence in 3 countries, and I have successfully exited to a public listed company. So this is what I've been doing. I'm also a public speaker, and I love to help women in beauty, wellness, fitness, and lifestyle businesses to go from being the best kept secret to the next online darling.
I love that. I love that. You have had such a crazy journey. And, you know, there was a lot in what you just said, like a lot of information and like big information. So where you started off, it's just such an interesting, it's such an interesting transition. You were once Miss Singapore. What got you involved in the pageant side of things? And then how in the heck did you go from being in pageants to becoming this, I guess, mogul that helps other entrepreneurs succeed?
When I was 14 years old, I had to support myself through school because my family financially, we were not sound. So I had to teach yoga, aerobics, line dancing to take myself, pay for my education, buy my books and put food on the table while raising a family of my brother, my mother and my dad. So during this time, it's very tough. 5 a.m. in the morning, I have to go to school. And then by the time I finish, school is about 1 p.m. And then I have to go for extracurricular activities or project work. By the time I finish about 4 to 5 p.m., I will have to go to teach my classes either at a fitness center or sometimes at a corporate setting. By the time I reach home, about 10 to 11 p.m., I've not finished my homework. So that went on for many years and my health was affected. And I look really terrible. And because of my financial situation, I wasn't able to keep changing a pair of shoes or buy nice bras or keep changing my bags or change my headphones. So many times I was being bullied in school. I was being mocked at. I still remember one incident where the girls came to me and they pulled my t-shirt when I was doing PE, what we call the outdoor activities, you know, one of the sessions in school. And they're like laughing at me and saying, you know, wow, you're wearing the same bra again. And that really impacted me because, you know, when we don't have a lot of money and, you know, when people keep laughing at you, why we are wearing the same thing, it's not really because of the circumstances. I mean, I chose to be like that, but of my financial circumstances. So over the years, my self-esteem took a dump. And that went on for many years until, you know, I have a group of very good friends who encouraged me to, you know, try out to go for a beauty pageant. But before that, you know, like all things, we need to believe in ourselves, to invest in ourselves, to really look at our own strength. And I discovered that my strength is I had a tenacity of determination and the strength and the fire in the belly to never give up because my family is my strength and that became my pillar. So I, with very little money I have, I actually asked for sponsorships and people sponsored me in my training. And of course, I paid some as well to improve my grooming department and stuff like that. And that was when and how I got into the pageant scene. Well, it was one of the way out to really explore an opportunity because like you always said, you know, beauty pageant is like once in a lifetime opportunity where doors really opened for you. And true enough, after winning Miss Singapore in 2006, my life was completely transformed because at the level where my family circumstances was and my financial circumstances, I would not have the ability to travel all around the world being paid for. You know, I from Singapore, I traveled to Germany, to Paris, and I flew all over the world being invited as Miss Singapore to events, to grace their events, to become a judge of a competition. So that really helped me a lot. So during this time, I built a lot of confidence and I learned that really never give up and keep asking yourself and keep asking myself that, you know, we should not always look back at our victim mindset, but really to step out of our comfort zone and go towards the dreams that we have truly wanted to achieve. Because you are not what you have done. You are what you have overcome.
That is wonderful. That just gave me goosebumps hearing you say that because I think there's parts of your story that maybe not everyone can relate to, right? Not everyone can relate to having the responsibility on their shoulders that you had at such a young age to provide for your family and build a better life or just keep food on the table. That is an incredible responsibility for a child, essentially, who's just trying to go to school and be a normal kid. But the piece that I think almost everyone can relate to is that feeling that your past circumstances can impact how confident you are and what you feel like you're worth and what you feel like you're able to do. I'm wondering if you can dive a little bit into how you cultivated that confidence, because it's not easy. It's not easy to do what you did and start to put yourself out there. Were there particular things that you did to develop yourself in order to feel more comfortable putting yourself out there in the way that you did? Because that's an incredible shift.
Wow, that's a very good question, April. In fact, I did something for myself, which was I went for a lot of self-development courses that look at internal healing. So I look at how to let go, how to forgive, how to love myself, how to let go of my victim mindset. Mm. How do I love myself more for the things that I've done and recognize my worth and value, not by the past, but more of how I've done and how far I've come. So by doing this internal work consistently, so one of my favorite mantras, even using it up to today, is put a hand on the chest and I always tell myself, I love myself and I set myself free. Mm. This is my time and I'm ready for the next step. Mm. So this is one of those mantras that I tell myself daily. And one of the authors that I came across was Chuck Spazzano. So one of the books that changed my life was 50 Ways to Change Your Mind and Change the World. So he had this system called the Psychology of Vision, and I was given the opportunity to attend this program, and I flew to Taiwan to attend the program all around Southeast Asia, and that really opened up my world. So the whole process took about 2 years, and like you said, April, you know, how did I learn to, you know, stand in the limelight or really embrace who I am despite all the hurts and things that have happened to me before, like the bullying and stuff? I can tell you it's really not easy. In fact, the healing courses that I took only happened after I became Miss Singapore. Mm. So before that, I was not even aware, to be very frank. It was just grit, true grit. Wow. It's like, I have to do it and I must make it happen. So that was one thing. And then after that, of course, I met some really good, what we call mentors, whom gave me this opportunity to learn the value of changing my perception, changing my mind, and then changing my own world. So that's how I overcame, and that's where I'm standing today. Because like I've said, you know, whatever we have done is the past. Just mm-hmm. step out of your comfort zone and just keep moving forward.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. I love, too, that you talk about having to shed your victim mindset. One of the things that we talk about a lot on the podcast is taking radical responsibility for your life. And that's really it's really related to this, because a lot of us, almost everyone, has experienced some type of hardship in their life. And that hardship can, you know, at least momentarily really be difficult and can, you know, pull joy and pull happiness out of your life. But you can allow yourself to feel like a victim in those situations, and you can allow yourself to continue down that path. But what you're really doing at that point by doing that is giving up control. Like, you're giving control over to external circumstances. Whereas if you do what you did and you shed that victim mindset and you decide, no, I'm not a victim. I'm in control here. I get to decide. I'm going to be the one who's responsible for what happens to me and how I cultivate my own happiness going forward. You stay in that place of control. You have control and responsibility over your own life. And that's a much powerful place to be in than being a victim and allowing external circumstances to have control over you.
Just like what Joyce Meyer says, you may not have a good start, but you can have a good finish.
Ah, I love that. Okay, so you now have moved from the pageant scene and you're, I mean, making a massive impact in another way. Tell us a little bit about Soul Rich Woman.
So in Soul Rich Woman, we help women to go from offline to online. We are basically a female entrepreneur platform in Southeast Asia. So we do three things for women. The first thing is to help women to build their brand recognition and online reputation as a leader to gain more customers, confidence, and credibility while making a positive impact in the world. And then the second thing we do is called Beauty Now Here, or Beauty Nowhere to Now Here. What we do here is, after travel in Southeast Asia, I realized that a lot of the women don't really know how to do a business. I mean, because in Southeast Asia, we are the online space is moving quite fast, especially with Alibaba coming into the space and moving the whole economy forward online. So what we are doing now is we are preparing to launch, or in fact, about to launch a platform where women can sign up for a monthly low recurring subscription fee, where they have no logistics, no manpower, to own a beauty business with true authentic beauty brands that we have direct source from manufacturer and suppliers, so that when someone orders through your network, like even foundation or makeup or skincare, say for example, Soul Rich Woman will do the fulfillment for you. So you could be in any part of the world, but of course our main focus is in Southeast Asia, and you still can earn a living by doing something online that is still yours. Yeah. So that's the second thing that we are doing. The third one that we do is we help women to learn the art of outsourcing, basically building their dream teams so that they can really grow their team and have more time for themselves on things that truly matters.
And that's, I don't know culturally if you're noticing the same shift in Singapore and, you know, the areas where you work. But what I'm noticing in the U.S. for sure is that it's difficult to find someone, particularly it's difficult to find a woman right now who isn't actively at least thinking about and contemplating a move that goes against the traditional 9-to-5 job. Because what I've found is that at least in the US, the ability for women to both live life, and by that I mean whatever that individually means for you. Maybe that means family, maybe that means hobbies, maybe that just means having free time. But the ability to live life is getting harder and harder and harder with the changes that I've seen in traditional jobs and traditional industries. So people are working longer hours, it's becoming more grueling, you're online and connected to your job 24/7, now that people have cell phones and their employers are providing cell phones, you're connected all the time. And so, you know, that amount of time and just headspace that their job is taking up starts to crowd work out. And I feel like, and I'm curious to hear what your thoughts are, but it feels like we're reaching a tipping point, or the point where the bubble's going to burst, because you can only stretch people so thin for so long before they start to revolt and go their own way. And that's what I'm starting to see happening in the US. I don't know if that's happening in Singapore, but that at least that's what we're seeing here.
Generally, the trend here in Southeast Asia, I would say that women are rising up to be an entrepreneur. And there are also the, what we call the relationship of the gig economy, where, you know, people are getting more, businesses are actually hiring people based on either flexibility, given people more flexibility to work from home or have more flexible arrangements. So there is definitely a growth in the gig economy. And because of this shift across Southeast Asia, like I said, the whole Southeast Asia platform is, you know, we are moving towards online. And like I said, there is a big giant that's also creating that force and the impact. So whether the person wants to work longer hours or stay connected or not, I only have this thing to say, which is boundaries. No, regardless of your situation or whether you are in whichever country that you're listening to this podcast, you're not here by chance. You know, you're not here in a coincidence. You're here because you have a purpose. Because if you choose not to stand up for in your own boundaries or to set your own boundaries, don't blame people or your boss for saying, oh no, you must be connected in a certain way. Of course, there are situations where I understand that your job requires you to be on call 24/7. Like my friend who is a doctor, he is on call 24/7. But unless you're in a profession like this, then can you make arrangements to the lifestyle that you want? Are you able to choose a job or a work that you prefer or to be more independent in? Because at the end of the day, what is a soul rich woman? It is basically a successful, independent woman who knows what she wants in this world. She will not stop until she's satisfied. She never settles for anything less than everything. She speaks her mind in every situation. She stands up for what she believes in and won't stop until she's finished. So this woman is always on top of her game. She stays ready to achieve success, setting her boundaries so that she never has to get ready.
That's wonderful. That is so wonderful. And you talked a little bit about this new part of your business that you're launching around this beauty business. I'm wondering if you can tell us a little bit more about that, because the business model of it is really interesting. And we spoke a little bit before we hopped on to record. You have some partnerships with some really big brands. This is not a small thing that you're standing up and that you're launching and creating. So I'm wondering if you can give us a little more detail about that.
Basically, it's called Beauty Now Here, BeautyNowHere. So Beauty Nowhere to Now Here, a journey of excellence. So what we do here is we have a what we call a business where women can own their beauty business out of a box. Okay, so let's say you join us. It's a $25 a month. And what happens is we'll give you a what we call e-commerce website where you have all the big beauty brands, like for example, L'Oreal, Max Factor, whatever brands that they are. And when people order through your website, you earn a certain percentage and then we do the fulfillment for you. So it's like a no overheads, no logistics, no manpower kind of thing where, you know, you get to own a business and you do the promotions and marketing through your social media. And you don't have to worry about, you know, keeping stocks because this is firstly the creation of this whole business model thing. Because after I traveled in Southeast Asia, I realized that there is a lot of women who like to buy products and sell, kind of like be trading kind of thing, and they like to keep stocks. So they will spend maybe $5,000 and then they'll buy this brand from some country and then they will keep a lot of stocks. And then by the time before they could finish selling, most of the products already expired or reaching the expiry date, and then they have to start to throw price. So in a business model like this, you don't have to worry about expiry date. There will never be expiry date for you and your business. As long as you take an interest, you are someone who loves to look beautiful, like to be empowered, helping other women to transform their life, then this is something that can fit your lifestyle. Now, the second part of this business is quite interesting. We actually have an online training program that's about 6 to 8 hours where you have to go through if you want to do the soft skills part. So what we want to do is we have a network of female entrepreneurs across the region, and we also have a database of customers. Okay, so they want to learn how to do makeup. They want to learn how to learn about their colors. Let's say, for example, so what we do is you go through a training, you get certified as a Beauty Now Here consultant, and you could be remotely earning $10 or up to 15 USD an hour to do a remote session with a customer that we push to you because you're a certified consultant with us. While at the same time, with an e-commerce website with all the products that is tagged to you, the person can actually purchase the products via your website as well. So it becomes like you are offering a skill, okay, while working remotely at your own comfort, at your own flexible time. Customers we already have, and then once we match a customer to you, we push that person to you. Once you complete the job, the person can make the purchase through your e-commerce site as well. So it's a win-win situation, right? You can actually make money at the same time, regardless where you are. And while picking up a new skill, becoming more empowered to help other women to transform their lives and look more gorgeous.
I love that. And it's interesting because when I think about the description you gave of a soul rich woman, there's so much empowerment there. There's so much confidence underneath that description. And for better or worse, I mean, well, I can't even say for worse because it isn't. One way, and it isn't the only way, so don't get upset if you're listening to this, but one way that you can really start to feel powerful is when you begin to build something, when you build a business that starts generating money that then you can use for whatever it is you need the money for, whether it is paying off a house or, you know, taking care of your family or going on a vacation or whatever it is. There's something so powerful about being able to take ownership for that outcome and knowing that it was your business that you built that created that money almost out of nowhere. Like you just made it happen. It's so powerful. And it really, you know, we mentioned earlier about how you cultivated your confidence and how you stepped into the person that you are now. Creating something that can care for your family or creating something that can generate a good income, that really builds your confidence. Have you found that same thing?
Yes, that's for sure. But I still think that having a strong support network is very important because you never walk alone, because alone you're strong. Together we are unstoppable.
I love that. Oh, that's wonderful. So on that topic of empowerment, you know, we're in a very interesting time right now. And again, definitely in the US, but we're in a time when, you know, women's empowerment is really gaining a lot of traction. And where do you feel like there are areas that we still need to address? And what are you doing about those types of areas?
After traveling Southeast Asia and building a network in these 7 countries, the very common problems that I see are still the stepping out of your comfort zone is one thing. Two is, you know, the fear of failure because of our education system here in Southeast Asia and in Singapore and Malaysia. You know, we are taught to, you know, to be successful in a certain way. So we are afraid to fail. So that's another thing, right? The other thing is because a lot of the women in our culture here in Southeast Asia, basically, we are basically kind of like, you know, we are told to, you know, not to speak up told to, you know, follow our husbands, right? For example, let me give you an example. This is my personal experience. When I went to Hanoi, Hanoi is in Vietnam. So when I was there, at the beginning, I kind of felt quite terribly when I first opened the network in Hanoi, because the women there are very different from Ho Chi Minh. Ho Chi Minh is also another part of Vietnam. The women too, even though it's in the same country, but they're two different breeds, okay? Simply because in Hanoi, it's, the women there are kind of still a stigma to become an entrepreneur. So they are at the phase where if you are in a work and you try to become an entrepreneur, you will be stigmatized. Literally. So that was what was being told to me because I was there to give a talk to rally up the women over there. And I talk about, you know, becoming an entrepreneur and stepping out of your comfort zone and going towards the dreams you've ever wanted to achieve, right? But if I fall flat on my face because they are at the phase where they are garnering their courage to even take the first step. They're even garnering their courage to face the stigma of the family members. How can they deal with the eyesight or that family pressure that you want to come out of a 9-to-5 work to become an entrepreneur? So literally, culturally, in the whole Southeast Asia context, in either in Malaysia or Vietnam, I really can see that every part of the country is, the people are quite different, the women there are quite different. But overall, 3 things I see. Fear of failure is one. two is really to get the women to, of course, address their concerns of stepping out of their comfort zone because of the family situation. So that's why we want to do a business that help women to go online so that they themselves still can keep their 9-to-5 job and then remotely still be able to earn a side income to enhance themselves. And then up to a certain point where they earn past their salary, they can eventually tell their family members more confidently and say that, hey, maybe it's good for me to do this, you know? Mm. So we want to be able to let the women in Southeast Asia here to take the first step. Yeah. And then the last part will be, like I said, the fear of failure, the family thing. And then the last part is, like in Philippines and in Malaysia, a lot of the women say that they lack of the resources or lack of the tools. So they don't really have the network to teach them or the know-how to go online. So that's what we are doing for them.
That's awesome. When you think back over everything that you've built, and this is in general, this is back from being a kid and, you know, taking care of your family at that age and then becoming Miss Singapore and then developing this incredible network of, I think I was looking at your information. It's like 12,000 or more members are in the Soul Rich Woman community. I mean, that's incredible. That is an amazing achievement. You've gone through this incredible personal shift. At this stage in the position that you're in, is there anything that still scares you? Like, do you have any moments still where you get really nervous about what your next step might be?
I think the monster of self-doubt is always there. Am I doing the right thing? Am I on the right path? You know, and sometimes we never know whether we are on the right path until we walk the path and then we look back. Hey, when we connect the dots, it looks nice. You know? It's just part and parcel. So the self-doubt part is one thing that still kind of scares me. But really, I have a solution for this. My solution is always to let the listeners out there, for you who's listening, is to find a mentor. So whenever I have a self-doubt, I have certain things in my mind, I speak with my mentor. And let me share with you how you should and you must find a mentor. There are always two things when you want to find a mentor. First, always find somebody whom you truly, really, from the deepest and bottomest of your heart, that you respect the person. Because I don't know about your culture over there in the US, but for us, for me especially, I mean, I am quite opinionated to a certain extent, okay? I mean, I have my own views and stuff, but if you can't even listen to somebody or hear somebody out, of course we can understand the person and adore them, but adoration, worshipping the person versus respect is actually quite different. Mm. And when you have a mentor and coach relationship, you must be fully committed to the relationship. Okay, as in, when a person shares with you certain things, you must be open to receive and be coachable. All of us have our own pride and our own ego and our own experiences. So the first thing is to have somebody whom you truly respect, okay, and be really coachable. Because if you are not coachable, that's when, you know, this shit is still going to happen regardless. Yeah. Whether you have a mentor or not. The second thing is to always find a mentor that has the direct result or the indirect result that you want. Okay, that means the person has done it before. Okay, how does it look like? It means that, for example, like for me, in Southeast Asia, I'm strong in building, helping women to go from offline to online, building my reputation online, getting PR and getting brand recognition. So that's what I'm really good at. So people come to me because of my strength, right? So I have the result that you want. I can get you places within a short period of time. So that's when you come and find me. And then the indirect result will be my community. So let's say if you want to start a business in Southeast Asia, we have partners all across Southeast Asia, in Vietnam, Philippines, Malaysia, Indonesia, Singapore, Myanmar. And then if you want to have a network like that to grow your business, to build a sister network, then you come into our network. Then you get to know this mentor, because from this mentor, through this mentor, you can go into this network to build your business, build your life, transform your own, what we call, you know, the five people that you hang on with the most, you are the average of it, right? So we want to create that space for women like yourself. So that's how you choose a mentor. Two things.
That's wonderful. And thinking about, so going back to that group of women who are listening to this, who might be at least contemplating something on the side or contemplating going out on their own, becoming an entrepreneur and starting a business. What is just the one tip that you could give them, like one big thing that would really help them in their business? Because you've got such a great expertise in this area. I have to ask you since I have you here.
One is the one thing that every lady must do, or sorry, didn't get a question.
Yeah, just one big tip that would help people succeed if they decided to go into entrepreneurship themselves.
Find a mentor.
Step number one.
Stop going to Google and try to Google everybody and try to go YouTube to find find like 20 gurus and put their materials together to try to start your own business. Really, it doesn't work. Find somebody who have the result. Get your shit done straight away. Shortcut your success. Why do you want to go the big circle and round in circles? Why do you want to do that? For what? What's the purpose of that? I mean, if it's like, if you have no money, then start from those, start somewhere, start small. But if you have some money, then invest in yourself, right? Find a mentor, invest in yourself.
That's great. So when people are interested to find you and know more about Soul Rich Woman and know more about this upcoming beauty business, where can they find you?
SoulRichWoman.com, spelled as SoulRichWoman.com, soulrichwoman.com.
I love it. Janisha, this has been amazing. Your story is just powerful. It is incredible that someone can come from the place that you did, where you had so much responsibility on your shoulders as a young kid, and be put in the position that you were with being bullied and everything that happened to you, and then see you rise up and succeed in two very different ways. I mean, succeed in the pageant scene, but then also create this enormous business that you've created to help other people do the same thing. It's just incredible. So I really appreciate you being here, and I appreciate you being open to sharing your story. This has been great.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me here.
All right, was I right or was I right? She is a total powerhouse, isn't she? It's amazing listening to the confidence that Janisha has when she talks about the work she's doing now. I mean, she's so... confident doesn't even quite describe it. She seems so resolute, and she seems so sure of the business models that she's building and the impact that she can have on all these women in Southeast Asia and really like across the world. The internet has made it so easy for us to spread both businesses and social connection across the world. And no doubt the work that Janisha's doing has reached much further than Southeast Asia, even though she is a massive powerhouse there. There's a few things that I really want to call out from our chat, because they're things that, you know, when you put them in the context of Janisha's background, they're unbelievable and amazing. But they also relate to people who don't have the same background as she did, people who didn't necessarily have to financially support their family. The point is, we all had a history. We all had a backstory that helped create the identity for ourselves that we have today and help create our belief system about what we're capable of and what we should or shouldn't do and all of those things. Everybody has that. Now, Janisha's background included, living in financial difficulty and having to go through the grueling schedule that she talked about. 5 a.m. to 10 p.m. and then coming home and starting homework. That's crazy. That is crazy. And to go from that and being bullied to the point that she became, Miss Singapore and she started this massive entrepreneurial movement, that's a huge shift. And what's cool about it is Janisha talked about the importance of the personal development work that she did, and that being the key to get her from the point where she lacked self-confidence and wasn't able to even see this path for herself to the point where she's at now, where, powerhouse is the word I keep using. She's a total powerhouse. You know, sometimes we can look at the world of personal development and quote unquote self-help books and think that they're kind of silly or like, really, you need help trying to figure out how to live and really that's how you're going to spend your time. And people sort of roll their eyes and think that it's not impactful work or something that it means something bad about you if that's something that you're working on. Speaking from my own experience in my own life and the massive transformation that's happened with me personally in terms of confidence and my belief system about what I'm able to do and just the jumping off point that I have now when I try new things, it's so different than it was before. And the reason why I made that transformation is exactly the same as Janisha's. It's this process of personal development and of really applying some of the knowledge that are, you know, that's in these amazing books that are available out there. It's the process of getting really aware of yourself and what those belief systems might be and what those pieces of your identity might be that could be causing you to behave in the way that you're behaving, even when it's not readily apparent. Like, that's the crazy part about this work. Like, doing the work to the level of being able to dig so deep that you can see now connections that you didn't even realize were influencing you. It's amazing. And once you can start to see those, you start to understand why your behavior is happening and you can start to change it. And that completely shifts the way that you think about yourself, and it completely shifts the things that you are willing to dream about and the size of the goals that you're willing to set and the degree of action that you're willing to take in your life. It can completely shift. So the point that I'm like harping on right now is that personal development work is some of the most important work that you're ever going to do, because it will set you up to have the mindset and set you up to have the psychological strength that you need to move forward and do things that you never would have thought you could possibly do. And I thought that was wonderful. Another thing that I want to call out from Janisha's interview is, you know, we were talking a bit about the shift that's happening in the United States with 9-to-5 jobs and how many people I'm seeing who are either going after a side hustle, have quit their job and are trying to start a company, or minimally are just contemplating and wanting to find a way out. I literally spoke to somebody yesterday who's in this position right now, wanting to find a way out, because we're all stretched so thin and work is invading these other parts of our lives. Now, Janisha will be the first to say entrepreneurial efforts are super rewarding and people can do them. And that's the whole basis behind Soul Rich Woman, her wanting to help women step into this role of being an entrepreneur and making money in that way. But that wasn't the answer she gave when I asked her about, you know, how this invasion into our lives, how work is invading into our lives. Instead, the answer she gave was so fundamental and so important to remember. Boundaries. Like, deciding that you are just not available for work at certain times. Now, again, you know, she made a great point about if you're a physician or you're on call at a fire department or something like that, where you legitimately need to be on call, that's one thing. But in most corporate jobs, it's not the case. And I love that she went right to the heart of something so fundamental and said, you need to set some boundaries and you need to stick to them. It might be difficult, sure, but that is, it's another way of looking at this notion of taking responsibility. You're taking responsibility for basically guarding that precious time and guarding those areas of your life that are sacred and that you are not willing to give up. And the last thing that I want to talk about is this notion of the victim mindset that Janisha was talking about. Man, there are so many people that I've talked to who could easily point to their past circumstances and feel like a victim and operate from that standpoint, operate from the woe is me and I can't believe this happened to me and whatever. But so many of the powerful women who I've talked to, I mean, people who have been through atrocious things, Gerda Weissman-Klein, Holocaust survivor, past interviewee of mine, she's similar, does not look at these situations from a victim mindset. Rather, she says, this is something that happened to me. That was a set of circumstances that I went through in this position that I'm in now, in this place that I'm at now. What's my responsibility moving forward? What am I going to take responsibility for? And how am I going to shape the path that I have going forward? Because I'm not willing to give up that control to something external or to another person. That's massive. And that is a huge power play right there, taking control of where you're going to go going forward. So you probably knew I was going to hammer on that point. Of course I was going to, but it's one that's so important, and it's one that has shown up time and time again in interviews that I've done with women who have survived really difficult things or gone through a really difficult life experience. And so it's worth sharing because it's something to think about as we all try to move past what our circumstances might have been in the past. All right, you guys, I really hope you enjoyed that interview with Janisha Allora. I loved meeting her. She is just incredible. And if there's one thing that I am taking away, one very fundamental, bottom line, tiny little thing that I am taking away, I feel like I have absorbed some of her confidence just by osmosis or something in listening to her talk. I feel more confident walking forward into the rest of my day having talked to her and heard how confident and incredible she is. So I hope you got that from this too. I'll see you guys next week with another awesome interview. Before we close out today, I want to say thank you to my producer, Cameron Hill, and to my incredible sponsor, Modern Well. If you want to learn more about how you can reach your goals in a one-of-a-kind work-life community, visit www.modernwell.co. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with someone else who might benefit from this inspiring message. And if you have a moment, click the link in the episode description to leave me a rating and a review on iTunes. It would mean so much to me. Finally, I want to remind you that it is absolutely possible to live a happy, fulfilling life, even in spite of all of the chaos and demands we all experience. Sign up at aprilseifert.com to gain access to tools that will help you do just that. I have carefully created and curated a set of tools that combine the powerful fields of psychology and design thinking to help you intentionally create a fulfilling, happy life you love. Thank you so much for joining me this week, and until next week, stay inspired.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online, at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.